Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We have Anna.
Hello.
Kay.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
The new issue of the Week Junior magazine is packed with everything you need to know about the most important and fascinating things happening around the planet and beyond. Inside, you'll find out what's happening at the Winter Paralympics in China, discover the world of surreal art, and see why noisy boots may help astronauts. If you want to find out more about the Week Junior, ask a grown-up to go to magazinesubscriptions.co.uk/the-week-junior and use the code PODCAST to sign up for a 6-week free trial. I'll read that again just in case you didn't catch it. That's magazinesubscriptions.co.uk/the-week-junior and use the code PODCAST. Now, on to this week's episode of the Week Junior Show. We'll be finding out how the UK is responding to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the details of an important plastic waste agreement, and explore the incredible power of doodling. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether teenagers are too young to drink coffee. But before all of that, given that we'll be talking about doodling, I want you all to tell me the thing you've doodled most often. Anna, you can go first.
Well, I don't really doodle very much anymore because I think I'm spending all my time typing on my laptop. But when I was younger and I was a bit of a doodler, I think the thing I drew most often were eyes. I was completely obsessed with drawing eyes. And actually, having spoken about it, I think I want to start doodling eyes again.
Eyes, interesting one. Okay. Kay, how about you? What have you picked?
I love doodling a certain type of flower, which I copied out of a book once. And it's just a dot with some lines and then a few petals, like hearts.
Oh, lovely. That sounds very pretty indeed. And Michael, what have you gone for?
So when I was younger, I went through a big mountains phase. So I would draw lots of mountains. I don't know why. Maybe because it was just very easy to draw. It was just three lines. I did colour them in a little bit, but they weren't the most detailed of doodles. But yeah, mountains. No idea why, but that was what I enjoyed doodling.
I love this little nature theme that Kay and Michael have got going on here. I tend to draw people waving. That's my doodle. It's always a person's face, and then I draw their body, and they're always waving out. I would love to say that means something, but I think it just means that's the only thing I know how to draw. I also want to know everybody's favourite fact from this week. Anna, what have you learned?
Well, this week on our Animals and Environment page, I discovered that Cuba is home to around 1,400 different species of snail, including our animal of the week, which is the brightly coloured Cuban painted snail.
Oh, lovely stuff. I love that. 1,400. That's about, I don't know, 1,300 more than I thought existed in the world. Kay, what have you found out?
Ahmad Nawaz has been elected president of the Oxford Union, which is a world-famous debating society, and he survived a terrorist attack, and he's only the second ever Pakistani president of the society.
Wow, that is big news indeed. And Michael, how about you?
I found out that there's a special cycling machine on the International Space Station that astronauts can use to keep fit. I just like the idea of cycling in space.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? To cycle in space. That would be an amazing workout, surely. Right now it's time for Real or Rubbish. Michael, I believe it's your turn to tell me a story today.
Yes. So, Bex, imagine if you could get paid to sniff your dog's poo, because that is what one plant-based dog food company in the US is offering one lucky dog owner, the chance to be paid to sniff their dog's poo. And this is all because they want to basically see what effect switching from a meat-based diet to a plant-based diet has on a dog. And as part of kind of monitoring the changes in the dog and its general well-being, that involves sniffing its poo. Now, the owner will get paid around £5,000 for this, and the dog even will be rewarded for taking part in this experiment with a selection of dog toys. So everybody wins. Now, do you think this sounds true, Bex, or does something smell bad about this story?
Well, if it's true, then sign me up, because I would, you know, happily be paid. I look at my dog's poo anyway, because her food does affect what comes out of her. I do think that is true. But surely, why would they pay someone to do this? I imagine if they're working at a dog food company, they've got people with dogs, right? They could just get people to do it for free, surely.
Well, maybe they want people on the outside, people who aren't working for the company, so they can get maybe more of an unbiased, you know, opinion.
So are they trying to figure out whether dogs work just as well with plant-based food than meat-based?
Yeah, so it's all about seeing how the dog is affected by moving to this plant-based diet. So as you just said, what a dog eats can affect them. And also you can see that in the poo. So they want to, yeah, they want to get people to have a look at their dog's poo and see how the changes in food has changed the poo.
Because I kind of do, and like, it sounds really gross, but like when I'm walking the dog, obviously I'm a good person. I pick up after her. You know, you do kind of have a weird up close and personal vibe with what they're doing on the street. So, you know, I would love to be paid for this. If I could make easy money by doing this, I'm 100% there. And I'm pretty sure my dog, who is a very yappy Jack Russell called Bonnie, she'd be delighted to get some extra toys in the house. So, I mean, to be honest, I've no idea about this one, but if it is true, am I allowed to apply, Michael? Would that be okay with the Week Junior?
I mean, I'm sure you could try, yeah. I mean, it sounds like they'll have a lot of applicants. If everyone else is as keen to do it as you, then they might be sport for choice.
That's the other thing. It seems like too easy money. It seems like there must be more you have to do for it, because it just seems like, would you have to take pictures, I wonder? Would you have to kind of like give it like on a smellometer, like from 0 to 10, how smelly it was? Do you have to, any other rules or stipulations you can perhaps tell me about?
Well, I mean, I love the idea of the smellometer. I think that's something that we need to bring in. I think the smellometer should be their go-to measurement for how the dog has been affected by the diet, where their poo ranks on the smellometer.
Bex is very scientific, smellometer, TM. Right now, we'll have a little think about that. And if you don't know the answer yet, if you've not read your copy of the magazine, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show and we can find out together. So now it's time for our three most important stories from this week. Who is going first?
I am. So obviously we spoke last week about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And since then, people have done a lot to raise money for those affected by the conflict. So here in the UK, the Disasters Emergency Committee, which is a group of 15 charities, announced that it had raised more than £100 million for its Ukraine appeal. And they actually reached this figure just 4 days after the appeal was launched. And this money is going to be used by aid workers in Ukraine and nearby countries to give people food, water and medical supplies. And the DEC, the Disasters Emergency Committee, has actually said to people that it's better to give money rather than donating specific items, because those items won't necessarily be what people need and they can be harder to transport. So lots of people have been doing fundraising for Ukraine. Lots of schools across the UK have held fundraising events, such as cake sales and non-uniform days. And lots of readers of the Week Junior have got in touch with us to tell us what they've been doing to raise money for Ukraine and to support charities. And if you're looking for ideas what you can do to help, you can visit tinyurl.com/TWJ-Ukraine support. Where you can see our Do Something page from last week's issue with some suggestions for what you can do if you want to help support Ukraine. And obviously, we'd love to hear from any listeners from this podcast about what you've been doing to help raise money to support those in Ukraine.
So, yeah, lots of ways we can help the people in Ukraine. And tell me, what has the government been doing?
So this week, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced that the UK government will be sending an extra £175 million to Ukraine, which brings the total amount donated by the UK government to 400 million. However, the government has been criticised for not doing enough to bring in Ukrainian refugees. Refugees are people who have had to leave their home because of war or the threat of violence. At the time of recording, only around 300 visas have been given to Ukrainian refugees. Visas are official documents which allow people to enter a country. And at the moment, the rules are that Ukrainian refugees can only come to the UK if they have family here or someone who will sponsor them. But people are calling on the government to relax these rules or change these rules so that they're able to bring in more people. This week, the UK, Canada and the Netherlands also created an international Ukraine support group to try and help organise aid and support for Ukraine. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky actually spoke to UK Parliament this week via a video link. And when he finished speaking, he received a standing ovation. The MPs stood up and applauded him. But yeah, obviously people are doing a lot to help support Ukraine. And obviously there's a lot that we can do as well and you can do to help.
Next up, Anna, what are you telling us about today?
Well, I'm not going to be talking about a news story, actually. This is something from our wellbeing page, which I think is really interesting and really useful, especially at the moment when the news from Ukraine might be making our listeners and readers feel a little bit upset or anxious. So this is all about doodling, which you might think is something that you do only when you're daydreaming or not paying attention in class. You might even have been told off for having a little scribble in the margins of your schoolwork when you're supposed to be listening to your teacher. But actually, we've discovered that scribbling and doodling is really helpful. It's a really good way, it seems, to help people remember information. So if you're scribbling as you're listening to a phone message, for example, evidence suggests that you're more likely to remember the details of the phone message than if you're not doodling. It's also a really good way to relax because it involves basically when you're doodling, you're not really drawing with any real intention. You're not trying to do something that looks realistic necessarily. You're just letting the pen go for a little walk on the page. So it's a really good way of switching your mind off and relaxing. So the idea for this feature came from an author called Kath Howe. Some of our listeners may be familiar with her. She's written a number of books. One of them is called How to Be Me. Another is called Ella on the Outside. And most of her books involve stories about children who are having perhaps a little bit of a difficult time at home and at school. And they follow the characters as they find ways to solve their problems and become happier and more confident. Kath spends a lot of time in schools and she does workshops based on her books, helping children really to express themselves creatively and to, you know, look after their mental health. And one of the things she does involves doodling. So the exercise that she told me about, which I thought was really interesting, and this is how we came up with the idea for the feature in the magazine, is she gets children to draw a big tangly squiggle. Like she gives them all a piece of paper and a pen, gets them to draw a big tangly squiggle, and once they've finished drawing their big tangly squiggle, they turn it into a little person with stick arms and legs. So it's basically two stick arms, two stick legs, maybe a pair of googly eyes. And then the next thing is that she asks them to fill the spaces inside the squiggle person. So all the little gaps between the lines have to be filled with words that describe yourself and your interests. So for example, if I was filling in my own squiggle person, I might write sister because I am, I might write Marmite because I love eating it, and I might write swimming because I enjoy doing it. And the idea is to keep going until every space is filled with words that describe you and the things that you love. And then when you've finished and you've filled every space, what you've got is a record of all the things that make you unique, because obviously your squiggle person won't be the same as anybody else's squiggle person because we're all made up of lots of different characteristics and interests and so on. And it's a really simple way to celebrate yourself and see what makes you special. And I just thought that was such a lovely, simple idea. And actually on the page in the magazine, we have some examples of some of the squiggle people that have been drawn by pupils that she's visited in schools. And I just think it's lovely. And I sort of think it's something we should all be doing. And the really good thing about it, as I said, is, you know, whether you're doing a doodle person and celebrating yourself or just drawing kind of fairly sort of aimlessly in the margins of a book, there's no pressure to be perfect. There's no right or wrong about it. So it's just a really nice, relaxing thing to do. So if anybody's interested in finding out a bit more about doodling, then turn to page 19 of this week's issue and have a read. And if you want to share your doodles with us, then ask an adult to email a photo to us at hello@thewheatjunior.co.uk or tag us on social media. We'd really love to see what you do.
Oh, Anna, that's amazing. I'm a prolific doodler. I doodle, like you said, on phone conversations. I doodle all the time at the side of a piece of paper. But now I feel good because it feels like I'm doing the right thing by doodling. I'm doing a good thing, right?
You're doing a good thing. You're doing a good thing for you. And it's actually made me feel as though I need to start doodling again. As I said earlier, I think I spend so much typing and so much time typing and swiping that I'm not spending enough time with pen on paper. And my kids doodle all the time. I'm always finding copies of The Week Junior lying around the house with new hairstyles doodled on the people on the front cover, or teeth that have been blackened, or wings drawn and funny hats. And it's obviously a lovely, lovely, relaxing thing to do. Keep doodling, Bex. Keep doodling.
I will. I'd also love to see a copy of The Week Junior released with just full of doodles and graffiti all over it, Anna. Get on it. That sounds amazing. Right, Kay, what have you been finding out about?
At a meeting in Nairobi, Kenya, a country in Africa, world leaders have agreed to come up with a treaty to reduce plastic waste. A treaty is a written agreement made by two or more countries. This would be the first international treaty on limiting plastic pollution. Around 7 billion of the 9.2 billion tonnes of plastic made between 1950 and 2017 is now waste, and plastic waste in the oceans is set to triple by 2040.
Okay, so how has this deal between the countries been made?
It's been made at the United Nations Environment Assembly meeting, where 175 countries agreed to work towards a deal on plastic pollution, although the treaty might not be complete until 2024. As well as covering plastic waste, the treaty will also look at ways of reducing the number of single-use plastics. Someone from the UN said that this is a really historical agreement, similar to the Paris Agreement in 2025, which was a landmark deal between more than 190 countries on how to fight climate change.
This is a pretty epic then. It's a pretty big deal. Thank you very much, Kay, for telling us all about it. So as well as reading more about these stories in the Week Junior, you can also read a review of The Ship of Doom, an exciting time travel story set on the Titanic. It's written by M.A. Bennett, and here she is to tell us a little bit more about herself.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior show. My name is M.A. Bennett, but you can call me Marina. I'm the author of The Ship of Doom, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer two very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Well, I love Marmite. I especially like it on toast with a fried egg on top. So don't all make sick noises at once. Secondly, what was my favourite book growing up? This is a really tricky one, but I'm going to have to cheat and say the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, starting with The Magician's Nephew and ending with The Last Battle. I really, really loved the idea of being able to go through to a different world through a door. And it gave me the idea that the cover of a book is really like a little door into another world. So whatever you're reading, you're really entering somewhere new.
Okay, it's time for the big debate. This week, we're asking if teenagers are too young to drink coffee. Kay, can you tell me a little bit more?
People in the UK drink 98 million cups of coffee every day. High streets are full of coffee shops, and creative coffee-making ideas are often circulated on social media. The NHS says that caffeine drinks, including coffee, are unsuitable for young children. However, a recent study found that nearly one third of UK children, mostly young teenagers, drink at least one energy drink containing caffeine a week. There are no rules about drinking coffee for older children and teenagers, but many shops won't sell energy drinks with caffeine in them to under 16s. Caffeine is a stimulant, which means that it makes people feel more alert and awake for a short time, but it can also make it hard to sleep, which affects people's mood and concentration. Countries including Canada have guidelines on how much caffeine young people should drink, but there are none in the UK. So what do you think? Are teenagers too young to drink coffee?
All right, then. This is Michael versus Anna. Guys, you know the drill. You've got a minute on the clock. I have a timer next to me. I hope you do as well. Michael is going to go first with his argument. So, Michael, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Well, I don't drink coffee. I don't really drink many hot drinks, to be honest with you. But I know a lot of people who do drink coffee. And I will say, kids, you do not want to end up like these people who are addicted to coffee, who cannot get by, cannot get through a day without drinking coffee. And it's a vicious cycle because people, they say they're tired in the morning, they need coffee for energy, but then drinking coffee can make it harder for people to sleep, which makes them feel more tired, which then makes them want coffee the next day, and the vicious cycle continues. There's plenty of other things that you can drink. Water, everything you need is in water. Just drink a nice cool glass of water and that's fine. Or if you need energy, you need other things, there's plenty of other better, healthier sources where you can get it from than coffee. And drinking coffee, it can have negative effects. People can get addicted to it. As I said, it can make it hard to sleep. And the effect of caffeine on young children as well isn't necessarily known. So I would say don't get stuck in the trap as all these adults have. Find other things to drink, other things to eat. Stay well clear of coffee.
Wow, an impassioned plea there from Michael against the dangers of coffee. I think that's because you don't like it, Michael, by the sound of things. So it's up to Anna to argue against Michael. Anna, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Well, I have to confess that I'm one of those adults who's addicted to coffee, Michael. I've got a bit of a coffee habit. It's the first thing I drink every morning. I love the smell of a hot cup of coffee, and I actually find it quite hard to get going in the morning, so it definitely helps to wake me up. I know that many teenagers share my struggle. So what's the harm in having a small cup of coffee if it gives them the boost of energy that they need? It's not as though they don't already get caffeine in other drinks. Tea, cola, hot chocolate all contain caffeine. And there's also plenty of evidence to suggest that drinking coffee in moderation can reduce the risk of heart disease. I spoke to my own teenagers about this, and they said, there's not much point in banning teenagers from drinking coffee. What's important is that they understand that a small amount is okay, but too much can be bad. I think it's far better to educate teenagers about both the positive and negative effects of caffeine so that they can make an informed decision for themselves.
Oh, well under a minute. Lovely stuff there, Anna. Thank you very much. So, Kay, what do you think? Will you be telling teenagers not to drink coffee?
Yeah, I don't think they should drink coffee, and maybe there should be better education about what's in drinks, like energy drinks, too.
Okay, interesting. Well, the main thing I've learned from this debate is if Michael was to open a cafe, I don't think I'd go, seeing as there's no hot drinks there available.
It would just be water and biscuits, water. That's it.
Water and dry biscuits, yeah. From Michael.
I'm not too sure you'd do a lot of business there, Michael, but still, you never know. There might be some people who feel the same as you do. And I guess we can find out by the listeners emailing us. Now, if you've got an opinion on this, first of all, respond to the poll right now at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls. And then email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last week, we asked if parents should track their children electronically, a big topic. Some of you could see the reasons for it, but 60% of you didn't want your parents always knowing where you are. Here are some of your comments.
One PopJam user told us they were in favour if it was appropriate, saying yes, but only under the circumstances that the child isn't answering messages or calls.
Another user said, I think it depends on the circumstances. Maybe if they are on a night out, just to make sure they're safe.
Others were firmly against it, telling us no, they should have their own freedom to do what they like.
So remember, get involved, grab a grown-up, record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate, then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, and we could play it out on next week's show. And that's not the only thing we want to hear from you about. We want you to create your own The Week Junior Show style podcasts. Send your audio files to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we'll play clips of the best ones on the show soon. You could be taking our jobs before we know it. And now, before we go, it's time for the real or rubbish story. Michael, can you remind me what it was, please?
Yeah, so this was the story that a plant-based dog food company is looking to pay a dog owner to smell their pet's poo.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think, like I said, I think a lot of dog owners not do this on purpose anyway, but do notice their dog's poo anyway, just to check they're doing okay. So I don't think this is a big ask of people. And if I think I'm being paid $5,000 to do it, I'd probably say yes. So I am going to say, I think also it's maybe a little bit of a kind of, you know, making people more aware of the plant-based food, I guess. A little advertisement. I'm going to say it's real. I'm going to say this story is totally true.
Drum roll, please. It's real.
Yes!
So yeah, dog owners could get paid to sniff their dog's poo. I think it is only for dog owners in the US, unfortunately, Bex, so I don't think you'll be able to apply. But who knows, maybe a UK plant-based dog food company will have a similar idea.
Oh man, me and Bonnie will have to wait another day. Well, before we go, there's just one more thing we want to tell you about. Now available is the Week Junior newsletter. It's an info-packed email for the grown-ups who subscribe to the magazine and want to know the highlights of each issue and behind-the-scenes secrets. If you're a grown-up subscriber, you can sign up at theweekjunior.co.uk/newsletter. And that is it for this week's episode of The Week Junior Show. So it's goodbye to Anna.
Bye.
2K.
Goodbye.
And Michael.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.